This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Hi, and welcome to Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. You can find us online at njrevolutionradio.com. And I'm bringing you a different sort of interview today. I'm going to be interviewing a reverend, but before, you know, just keep listening. I know it's not my usual thing, but he's definitely a special reverend, and you guys are really going to like this guy. Welcome to the show, Pastor
Blake. I really need to be liked. That's important.
So we met maybe like a year and a half ago. There was a local school down here that was going to be passing a transgender protection policy. And things looked pretty much like they were going to happen, but there was a church, not your church, but there was another church that started organizing protests against them trying to pass this policy to protect transgender students. And it turned out that we had a reverend on our side as well, the good side, as it were. And you were actually speaking as a man of faith, defending, you know, saying that we need these sort of policies. And it was great to have you on board, although they still haven't passed the policy yet, which we'll get into later. But it was great to meet you through that. And, you know, I just wanted to introduce people to you and get a chance to explain, you know, for you to say why you, as a man of faith, are so deeply committed to the LGBT community.
Man of faith. I haven't heard that. Man of faith. First of all, before I say one other word, I get what it means to be a minister in a world in the LGBTQ community. I get the rub. I get the dynamics. I get it because I lived in church world all my life. 48 years of my life in a closeted nature. I had a good life. I was married and have children, and my pastor was, my wife was a pastor as well, and we co-pastored. So I don't regret any of my journey. I know what it felt like to be in an institution that could not affirm who I was at my core, even when I couldn't acknowledge it. I knew that the institution was not acknowledging other people, and it hurt. But I didn't know how to say anything because I was so afraid. So I've spent a lot of years in a religious institution, afraid and angry. And then, and I can't tell you that whole story now, but when it opened up, I just haven't stopped talking. And I was going to leave the church and do some other things because I didn't think I could really be an out gay pastor and make it. The denomination that I serve, Presbyterian Church USA, you know, they've come to their senses and affirmed the ordination of gay pastors, and then eventually affirmed same-sex marriage.
And which is definitely a great development. That there's plenty of churches that still have not even evolved that far.
And well, even though I tell you we've evolved that far, there's still huge, huge challenges. We've passed it, but it takes years and years for an institution to embrace it. So I'm serving a very progressive, open, compassionate church, yet they still struggle.
Right. You still even have some pushbacks for the work that you're doing here. A few years ago, or was it not even years ago, that you had the transgender art show here?
Yeah, it was a year ago. We had a young woman come our way, her mother, and she came to our church, and right after worship, she said, "Well, I just need you to know, this is Mama Bear talking to me, I just need you to know my daughter is transgender." And they told me the experience they had in one church, and she was basically saying, I sense that I'm welcome here, but you need to know this part of it. And if you can't handle it, you need to tell me now. And I said, I'm ready. I'm open. However, there were things to learn. You know, you have to learn people's stories. And though I was totally open and welcoming to this transgender, beautiful child, there was so much for me to learn as to what it meant and what her journey was and what it didn't mean. And so I had a learning curve, and I had to do that first, and then I had to help a community do it. We ended up baptizing her one Sunday on her year anniversary of her transgender, you know, life and,
right,
and
yeah.
new beginning. And so we celebrated her, you know, 1 year anniversary by a baptism. And so no matter what people are feeling in the congregation, the sheer joy that was experienced that day was huge. So when I started hearing about this other church and the school district battling with transgender, I didn't have a choice. I had to go speak for this child, and I knew that other people, and I know my own experience of being bullied for being gay, queer, fag, whatever they wanted to call me back then. So it's just a no-brainer that I went. Scare me to death.
It was scary. It that one big meeting me. Where everybody was in white shirts and they were in red shirts.
I mean, it was like a TV movie making, you know, and I had never done that kind of speaking publicly. It's very much part of what I understand as living faith. The social justice aspect, and that it is, I'm called to do that. And this congregation that I serve is called to do that. We don't see that as a conflict, and we don't see it a conflict to critique what's happening in the political world as we see it. And
but this other church definitely had some interesting characters who came out and spoke that night, and it was nice to hear your speech on the other side of recognizing people's humanity. And unfortunately, this policy did not get passed, and they're still discussing it. And you were just saying before the interview that you think they're still organizing protests as
well.
Well,
I just
discussed.
Heard lately that they're creating a movement to try to defeat whatever's coming the way. I've lost touch because a new superintendent came in, and so I thought, you know, personally, I've done a lot. Let me let some time happen. And that time's happened, and, you know, we have a new governor, and we have new people, and that's what the superintendent was waiting for, and those things have happened, and come to the plate and do what's right.
Right, and this is not a radical policy.
I mean,
some people, you would think that this policy doesn't even go far enough. It's reaffirming what's already law, that
exactly.
people can use the restrooms that they are, and that, you know, I think it had some pronouns that they would use the pronouns for mm-hmm. the gender that this transgender person is. And there wasn't anything really all that radical. Like, there could have been a lot more. And I think it came out of there was a lawsuit from some bullying that yeah. one of the students, a transgender student, yes. had faced in this school district. And so it was trying to protect kids, because transgender kids really are very isolated and do not have that community support often, which is why it's great that you're providing a community that's opening to all, to provide some sort of, I mean, suicide amongst transgender children is extremely high. So this was just the base level of protection for these kids.
You know, I didn't realize how far my heart and mind had gone and understanding, and I've done it all my life, but when you're standing with a group of people who are saying such ignorant things about people they don't know anything about, you know, like, I don't want a male going in the girls' bathroom and showing their penis to my daughter. And I'm going, well, you're not talking about a transgender. You're not talking about my transgender child. And, you know, who are you talking about? That's a whole nother issue. But,
right.
You know, to understand that transgender are battling with their own bodies. And why would they flaunt that in front of other people as a threat? They feel threatened on so many levels. And it's just the basic human respect to give them just a safety on a piece of paper. Just write it on a piece of paper, please. And that's all we've been asking. And it's amazing how hard that is for people to do.
Right. But, like, you would think basic human understanding and empathy with another person who's battling issues would be so easy to pass. Yeah. But there's a lot of opposition to this that's hard to comprehend.
You had mentioned the art gallery experience, and we encountered this Paul Saviano, who is doing a incredible journey of capturing photos of transgender folks around the world, young and old. He started out with young because he had just this grand awakening that this is something that someone would deal with all their life. And so we got the initial photos, not the end result. And we filled the walls of our sanctuary with these portraits of all ages and around the world. And it was the first time in our sanctuary, in our art gallery. It's in the sanctuary. You had art in our sanctuary.
I've shown art in your sanctuary. It's a great space. Any other artists that are listening, reach out to Pastor Blake and get your art in the sanctuary.
Yeah, because we don't have any stained glass windows. We're a plain building. And so the art becomes the story on the wall. But it's the first time that we had people, portraits. And to have them, you could just look in the portrait and they were telling you their story. It was powerful. And we've had several community events that happened where when the gallery, when the portraits were up, and it was kind of entertaining and fun to watch people read the explanation of what this art show was about. And, you know, some were pretty shocked that that was hanging in a church. They had to deal with terms of non-binary and trans, you know, just the words. And they were just like, that this was happening in church. And I go, well, of course it's happening in church. It's, you know.
One thing you had said to me some time ago that stuck with me was, I think you, on some signage, had used queer. The word queer.
Yes.
And got a lot of pushback for that word. And what you said was, it's not for you.
Right. We had a series, a speaker, and it's through our denomination. In the Presbyterian Church USA, we have an advocacy group for gay folk in the church called More Light. And the interesting thing is that that group is organized to push the denomination, just push it, and they push it hard, and they don't stop. So the second that we affirmed or allowed same-sex marriage to happen, they began on transgender issues. And the church is like, what? We just dealt with you gay and lesbians, and now you want us to deal with transgender? Yes, we do. We're not stopping. And so we were bringing that speaker and a movie that we showed, and the banner was Queer Trailblazers Redefining Church. And that word queer was big, and it was a hot pink banner. And all these people drove by, and we got calls, you know, what is that about, and why do you have to use that word? Our banner got stolen. It disappeared. We couldn't prove that it was stolen. The police came out. Police officers go on, well, you know, why would you have that word? So I had to educate the police officer. You know, aren't you just asking for trouble? I said,
oh, that's what actually what they the police said to you was that you were at. Okay.
Yeah, and people and a couple in our church. You know, aren't we just asking for trouble when we put the gay color bar out or our words like queer out? And I go, well, we're not asking for trouble. We're just trying to tell the people who need to know that this church on this road is completely different from the other 9 or 10 that are all the same variety of theology. And I said, it's important. The thing I've learned about banners and church communication on a lawn is that the words we put on a banner, the straight people will read the words. The LGBTQ community will see the color bar and not the words.
Right.
And the second they see the color bar, they know that this church is different. And, but then again, we're still a church with a long history of doing a lot of harm to my community.
And that's why you're so dedicated to pushing and evolving things and making it a different space.
Well, you know, there are many people who came before me, and in the church world, many ministers who, some that did commit suicide, some that left the church, that never could live out their calling. And so there are many people, I'm here because of them, and I do not take that for granted. And they were not all gay that paved the way for me. And in this particular church, there was a minister that was before me, and she sacrificed a lot, but she paved the way for me. She paved the way for where we are as a church, and I don't take any of that for granted. And so not to take it for granted is to step up and speak. And I didn't even realize, well, you're being so brave and bold. And I'm going, well, I didn't know I was. I just thought there just I have to.
Well, I just being a minister or a reverend and openly being gay is
fairly... to date and do that, which I have successfully dated and have found my person for the rest of my life. But dating and living in it's hard, and I totally understand. I don't judge. You know, I know why people have left the church and will never return to it. I get it. My own daughter has. And I get it. But for some reason, I've been called to stay in this spot. And so I intend to do it differently and loudly and lovingly.
And with a lot of stubbornness, too. I think stubbornness is very important, that you're going to fight this fight.
Thank you. I like that. I hadn't thought about being stubborn.
Stubbornness is an admirable quality.
I have to be.
Yeah, especially in this area. This is not the most progressive of areas that we live in down here, to say the least.
Well, I'm, excuse me about my phone, but I'm from Texas.
In case anyone couldn't tell
by the accent. I mean, you're trying to figure out the accent, and I'm not in New Jersey by accident. I had to do a nationwide search. When I committed to stay in the church, I had to, we only have about 300 of our 10,000 churches, 8,000, I don't know how many we have. We've lost a lot of churches because we did affirm same-sex marriage and ordination of homosexuals. We've lost huge, large churches, about 300 or so, that have left our denomination. And so, you know, though there are pockets of liberal people in Texas, I want you to know, and that, you know, Houston, who elected one of the first gay mayors, lesbian mayors in the country, and Lupe Valdez, who was the first, was a sheriff of Dallas County and a Latino lesbian. That happened in Texas. And though there are some churches that are very liberal, they don't have gay folk as their pastors. And for me to become their pastor is a long process. I had to do a nationwide search. I end up in New Jersey. And it, you know, it kind of, I felt like a foreigner. Felt like, I don't know, I relate to a lot of the people trying to come in our country. And I felt that way. And then, but I found a home here. I really did find a home here. And, but I'm here because of not being able to live out my life in the church in Texas.
Well, the great nation of New Jersey is happy to have you here. That's what my partner in New Jersey Revolution Radio always says, the nation of New Jersey.
The nation of New Jersey. Yeah, well, New Jersey and Texas have a lot of similarities, I hate to tell you. Not politically, but socially and culturally. There are a lot. I feel at home here. Well, those are good things.
Yeah, that's good. It's always good to find a home and to find your voice and use mm-hmm. that voice for the, you know, good work that you guys are doing here. Anything coming up that you want to talk about and, you know, things that are events that are going on? How can people get involved in the school board battle?
Well, we're beginning that process again, trying to find out what's on their agenda and needing to show up again to say, you know, we're still here and we're not going away and you need to do the right thing. So I don't have anything specifically planned, to announce or to that I know that's happening, but, just to know that in Egg Harbor Township School District, right, call, show up at the meetings and
they're on Tuesdays,
they're on Tuesday night and it's not a convenient night for me, but, you know, we're going to keep our ears and eyes on that. And we've been working with GLSEN in South Jersey. And our church gave a $2,500 grant to help create a handbook, workbook, resource book for the schools. And that's currently being printed.
Can you explain what GLSEN is for anyone who doesn't know?
Well, yeah, it's a national organization gay, straight, educational. I never remember what the GL. So, excuse me. Google it and find out that. But it's about providing resources in schools where gay, lesbian, LGBTQ students at least know that the resources are there. So we have to get the resources in the school for the counselors and the people to know that that stuff is there, but we hadn't had anything for them. So they're currently creating that resource information, and that's really huge. And
yeah,
we've been
great.
Part of that, and I'm really proud of that. And I'm hoping that will open new avenues for all of us to be part of. Now, my thing is not to go out and speak and find new church members. That's just not how I do. That's not how I live faith. The church will survive or not survive. But, you know, I do that, but I go out to talk and speak and do things, just to be another voice and to be another kind of voice, coming from church, because there's so many hideous messages, coming from many, faith communities in America. And, so I'm just not out trying to find church members. That's not why I do this. I'm not talking to you hoping that someone would hear and said, oh, I'm going to come be part of this church. I'm not doing that. I'm telling you my story, what's happening with me, you know, and if by chance someone does need to have someone, there are a lot. We have about 30 people, gay, LGBT people who have found a community when they thought they never would have one, but they were longing for a church, you know, a religious sacred community. They were longing for that and thought they'd lost it, and they mm-hmm. found a place. So that's,
well, I view you as an activist. That's why I'm having you on the show.
Well, that's
because you are an activist.
Okay, that's why. I just want to make that sure. I'm not talking to you to get new church members.
Really. I would not be having you on the show if that was the case.
Well, I just want to say,
I appreciate your activism and, you know, being an inspiration for other people who want to get involved and want to do something. You know, it doesn't matter what your background is, where you come from, how you've been raised. We need more activists on the street. So I'm hoping that you'll inspire other activists to come out and do the same thing you're doing.
Yeah.
Even if you feel like, oh, I'm in a church situation, I couldn't possibly do that. Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Meet Blake. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, thank you for acknowledging. That makes me more comfortable. I mean, that's what people think. You're here. That church, well, some churches go and do those things.
He's pointing at the church down the street.
They're back here. They're back that way. We got pitted together like we were like pit bulls, you know, against each other. Not anything against pit bulls, because I love pit bulls. We have, I do ministry with them. They're part of my church. I love them.
But no, it's good to have your voice in the community speaking for the transgender community and the LGBT community. And even though I'm not a person of faith, as it were.
That's the cool thing. See, you and I got connected and the faith issue did not get in our way.
No, we're fighting for the same battle and protecting the same people. Right.
And then to have your art hanging in our church, you know, it, that, we need to erase some of those things. And you know, I'm working to do that. That's kind of what I see as the last part of my ministry, because I'm not as young as I used to be. But, but anyway.
None of us are as young as we used to be. There's a song that you're the oldest that you've ever been, and now you're even older.
And I still look good. I got some good hair.
He really does. You can't see him on the podcast.
That's important.
Well, it was so great spending some time with you today. Thank you again for coming on the show. Thank you for my listeners taking time to join us today. If you like this kind of reporting, you know, you're hearing stories that you're not hearing anywhere else, meeting activists who you may have never had the chance to meet before, standing up, doing activism, supporting this, you know, this is your news station as much as it's ours, and we need your help keeping it going. So if you have the chance, go on NJ Revolution Radio and click on that donate button. You can support us on Patreon, on PayPal. You make sure you like and share all of our stories. Follow us on Twitter, SoundCloud, Google Play. I'm sure there's more of them out there. Stitcher, we're also on. And, you know, do whatever you can do to help us stay on the air. We need you guys. Or else I'm going to be trying to sell you mattresses and boxes in the near future. None of us want that. Thank you again for listening. The future's yours to create. Go out there and create it.
Dang, you're good.